Welcome, guys, to the SBN Network podcast. I'm your host, Steph, and with me is...
I'm Scott.
Yes.
And I'm Scott. We know how to do intros now.
This is a podcast where we take some deep dives into some wonderful artists and kind of look at their account in a different way, which is always a little bit positive, a little awesome, and you guys can enjoy their accounts with us.
And now that we've gotten more professional, I try not to say any dumb stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I try to at least always end on the good note.
Yeah.
So, yep. See, the scary numbers are at the top over here. Over
there. Now we're being recorded and now we're being timed.
All right. Well, welcome, Dana. I'm really excited that you get to be on because I feel like I've talked to you for like years now and now I get to see your face, which is super excited. I know this is a side note that I let Bets know that we're both going to be in the same viewing sphere and she's super excited. So it's one of those things. Yeah, so she's very excited for our little talk and everything. What I wanted to know, kind of like just welcome you and how are you? How's your day going or night, I guess, over there?
I'm good. I was pretty nervous about because, you know, it's like you were actually one of the first people I followed when I started my account way back. Yeah, you and Beth.
Legend.
Yes. I was just like, oh, shoot. And so it's just cool to see that progression of like, okay, now she has like all these cool things, like started, you know, like hashtag, like the Sisters in Plastic stuff. Mm-hmm. And then like, with Scott stuff, I was like, oh, he's going to look at my account. Okay. No, that's cool. Yeah.
Dana, I will be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was following you before Steph told me that you were going to be on. And I don't know why. Like, it was a weird moment. She mentioned it. She told me, you know, you were the next person in line. And I was like, okay, cool, Dana. And then I went, Dana. Okay. Hang on. And I went in and I was like, I don't think I follow this account. And so I followed it, and which honestly, everybody we've had so far, I followed prior. Mm-hmm. I think I felt like I had to make up for lost time. So I went through your account so many times.
I felt so bad. I was like, oh my God, this man.
Cool. It was great. And I kept looking at it and I would look at it. Like I get to work usually like 30 minutes before I actually have to go in. And I would just sit there and I would just like scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll. And then the next morning I would do it again and I would scroll and scroll and scroll. I had a really good time. And it's one of my favorite things about this whole process. So don't feel bad at all. It was great. But I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that I hadn't been looking at your work like beforehand. So I'm happy that this happened because now I feel like I'm actually connected to you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like, so with my account, I'm not super aggressive about posting. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'll take stuff. And then, you know, it's kind of like, if I post it, it might be the next day. It might be like 2 years later. It was always like from the beginning, okay, this is the fun space. And so like, cause my background is like journalism stuff. And so like, and now I'm kind of like in a more marketing position and I'm like, I own my own things. I'm like, I don't care. I'm just here to have a good time.
Good.
I want people to see it, but like, I don't really play the follow game as much.
No, you definitely don't. But there's nothing wrong with that. That's a great, honestly, not that there's anything wrong with the people that do that.
No,
I'm fine either way. But for some people, and I think I tend to fall into that category, this is something for me to decompress from my work week, my life. You know, I'm a dad. Like I sometimes just need that. And I'll go 2 weeks without posting anything. And I feel bad sometimes for the people who do try to interact with me regularly is because they'll tag me and I don't always respond like right away. And it's not because I'm ignoring them. I just don't always, I don't keep up with it as well as other people do. Some people are like adamant about that, like daily post, you know, these 365 projects.
Yeah.
I give them so much credit, but I don't have the time necessarily to really dedicate to that. So I get it, doing it for just, you know, you do it for the fun, you do it to get some air, and I'm all for that. So
And that being said, how did you come up with your handle? I'm wondering.
Okay. This is, I mean, it's like deceptively simple. Oh, small legends, small items, like popular things. But it was like, I have this like over dramatic thing of like, let's, you know, because again, like journalism, I like, you know, literature, all that stuff. But, you know, you also have to like step back and be like, okay, like not everything is a masterpiece. Sometimes it's just dumb and it's fun. But like, I had that thing of like, I want a simple handle. I don't want it to necessarily be tied to myself as like an individual, just because it's like, I, you know, I want it to be about the toys. Cause I'm just not. Hello.
I get it.
I'm just like, I like buying lots of stuff. Please look at this stuff so I feel justified. I can spend more on it. But with that, it was just kind of the idea of like, when I looked at stuff like, you know, I'm super into anime. I like some like comic book graphic novel stuff, but it's kind of like we've got this, you know, modern pantheon, you know, that just continues to grow because there's so many people who just keep making new things. And it's all kind of like self, you know, referential in a way, and all kind of like My Hero Academia is like, oh, like this guy likes Western comics. I'm going to make, you know, this whole series, you know, but Japan. And it's like that cool, like, huh, all right. Like, I like that. And just, I don't know, applying it. The little boys seemed fun. Kind of like a, I don't want to, because I was like, do I just do like all Pokemon stuff? Because I love Pokemon, but then I know I'm not. I have, you know, the wandering eye of like, what's that?
I want to try something else. That was one of the things with choosing my handle was, yes, I am a rabid Star Wars fan, but I wanted to give it at least a little bit of open-endedness where I didn't always feel obligated to shoot Star Wars. I didn't want, like, the idea of F-Stop Rebel felt distant and like connected enough to Star Wars, but also had enough distance that I felt like I could throw Marvel in there. I could throw Pokemon in there. I could throw, you know, I could throw whatever I wanted at it and it would still feel like it made sense. So that was, it's a good choice. Like some people, I don't think always think about that. They just, you know, set up their handle as a very particular like niche and they go, this is what I do. And then like a couple months down the line, they're like, oh crap.
No,
like, I'm kind of stuck in this. I want to do something else. So this, Steph, I remember as I went through, this is, I mean, no offense to some of the other people who have been on here. This might be one of the most fascinating first photos and recent photos we've ever had.
It's literally an evolution, yeah. Dana. Like, you literally went from Bulbasaur to now this Venusaur. Like, I love it.
I feel like everybody needs to take a second and not talk about this and just look for a moment. Anybody viewing this and watching this, just absorb it. Think about it. If you're listening to this podcast on a platform, please go at least look at Dana's page, small_legends, and look at her first photo. And the photo that she posted, when is it from? 4/20/21, a couple days ago. Because this is amazingly, they look amazing side by side. So cool.
That is funny.
All right, everybody take a breath.
Man, now I feel good about the posting. Because I'm like,
no, do you want to talk about the first one? I want to know where this came from.
That first one was, so like when I, like, again, I talk about it being like, oh, I just want to start it for fun, blah, blah, blah. But you know, it's that thing of, it's that like balance where it's like, I want to do this for fun, but it's like, I do want, you know, interaction and my things to be seen.
Yeah.
So it was like, I had seen some toy accounts already that were already like super, you know, and people had been on like Flickr and then people were like coming over from all these other platforms to Instagram. Cause it was like, it's like 5 years ago, something like that. So I was already like, okay, like this is kind of what the bar is. The bar.
Yeah. Well, you wanted to come in at the, you didn't want to come in below. You wanted to come in on par with what was going on.
Yeah, I was like, I don't really want to like, because it's like, you know, you have your personal Instagram that's kind of like, I'm eating this food.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is like, okay, no one knows who I am. What is, you know, like what is this account? Okay.
Yep.
And so with that one, that Bulbasaur is actually one, it's not the exact same one, but my husband, when he had studied abroad in college in Japan, he'd gotten me like the shinier version of that Bulbasaur from the Pokemon Center store. And I noticed, like, before I started the count, I was like, huh, I actually did take toy photos. It was just kind of like a, oh, I don't know why this toy is in my bag, but like, I'm just going to put it down. And then, like, you know, you're just at like a restaurant or something.
So you did it before you actually were a toy photographer.
Just like unconsciously.
Yeah.
It was just one of, you know, you go back through your phone or like you're flipping through old photo albums at home and you're like, oh, that's kind of eerie. Like, so I just wanted like something to be like more meaningful. So it was like, one, like Pokemon's important, like, you know, in just so many creative like ways to me. And then, you know, it was just like a significant like toy already. So.
I love it. I love the color in the first one. Now it's this super vibrant, very lighthearted, focus on the character, very cute, very uplifting. And then you go to this last photo and it's heavier, literally darker, deeper. The color is much less saturated. It is much more intense. I don't want to say angry, but it's more aggressive character.
Yeah.
You know, you've got that light in the flower and it's like the eyes and everything is just, you've gone from these like kind of cute little glassy eyes as your first photo to this very intense action level Pokemon. It's pretty cool. It's really cool. This is a really fun evolution.
What figure is this Venusaur, Dana? Where is it from?
It is actually, I think it's their only one right now, but it's called Frame Wars. Frame Wars. They do have an Instagram account and a Twitter and a Facebook. And it was just one of those things you find randomly when you're scrolling, kind of like, okay, wait, what is this? And it was like their first project because they have like all these illustrations, like they have a calendar like with a lot of these like mecha Pokemon and like this whole like world they've created. So they're gonna do hopefully Blastoise and Charizard next, but they're still because like they're still shipping it out because like everything kind of messed with that schedule because I had pre-ordered it like over a year ago. And it was just one of those things that you're like, this is the most expensive thing, like toy-wise I've ever bought. Like, that's so good. And it's an amazing, like, it's a statue. It's like
a statue.
Like, it's a, she's hefty.
Like, is it articulated or is it just like solid piece? Like, does it have movable limbs? Does it have a movable mat? Or is it just solid?
It's solid, but what do you call it? Like, I'm just gonna grip because she's like actually next to me right now. The like, oh, you can't. But she's got like these little like plant things in the back, and so these are magnetic. And then like a lot of the stuff, like I'm just gonna take this off.
Yeah, do it.
Like,
why not? Visual.
You know, it's like off. So it's like it comes in the box all like unassembled, and then like. Like underneath, you know, the little palm tree thing, it's got little like grooves and holes. So like, you know, there are little vines underneath it.
And it's all magnetic, you said, right?
Not all magnet. The first thing I showed, this is magnetic. So it like will stick off the base. So it was super forgiving. And I was like, that's really smart. I wish more like, you know, bigger companies did that. But for like this stuff, it's like, it's color coded.
Yeah.
So it's not like, you know, it's not the most like, I mean, it's not, you know, it's not Hot Toys, but I mean, for like an unknown company, you know, that like, is their first thing.
Amazing.
I was like, this is amazing, guys. Like, I can't even imagine. Like, and it was cool because there's a huge thing about like, you know, how are you going to ship this? Blah, 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 blah. Like respond to my message, you know, the usual like, you know, concerned people. And then so they actually posted this video of their, like, look, this is our, you know, this is our factory. And, like, this is the thing, like, all packed up. And they were just, like, throwing the box on the ground and flipping it. Yeah, they were like, okay, this is, like, what to expect from, like, international shipping. And then they think, I think they opened it back up, but it was, like, it was fine. And so I was like, if you're willing to throw that on the ground, like, I was already like, if it's broken, like, because it's not your fault. Like, you tried your best. But I was like, that's that's gutsy. And I appreciate you.
I know First Four Figures does the same thing with the stress tests. They'll literally like box it up and like kick it down their assembly line. They'll videotape them doing it and then reopen it because they want to make sure that they come in the appropriate way. All right.
Well, I mean, that is important in this day and age. I know it's kind of sad, but it is what it is. I love your little word bubbles. I know you don't do it a ton, but you have done it periodically. And I like, let's get all Scotty detailed again, but like, I like the way that they're transparent. You do kind of just like the line work. It's a simple line, simple drawings on the inside, and they go, and you can see through it into the background, as opposed to making it, you know, one solid color. Something about that just fits your style perfectly. But yeah, I loved this photo. And I actually considered using the bubbles. I liked them enough, but then I was like, I don't know. I questioned it too much. I tried. I actually tried with the guys on the couch, and I went to do it, and I just went, I'm not executing it like she does. So I kind of backed off on it. But it's really cool. It's really cool.
I think this photo is actually a really good representation of what you were talking about earlier about like how you've like evolved from like classic nerdisms from Zelda and like all that kind of stuff into the new My Hero generation. So over 5 years of toy photography that we've been like on there, this is like a perfect like encompassing image of like how those kind of things like relate and can still be the same. And I always adore your softness anyways on how it, like your photos feel warm. So this is just like, plus I love Froppy, like who doesn't love her? So it's just like little frog was like perfect. I was like, she's so cute. So
This is actually just me on my phone at like 1 a.m. just because I don't have a tablet. And I actually, like, I have Lightroom and Photoshop, but I didn't have a mouse for a really long time. Yeah, I was like, you know, in hindsight, this would have taken.
You took this with your phone?
No, I'm sorry. Took it with the camera, edited it.
Okay. Oh my gosh, what?
She drew the little speech bubbles with her finger.
I can't see. Like,
so, I think that works, though. Keep
going. Yeah. It's one of those, like, this needs something. Okay, because it's like, yeah, you take the photos like where they're like super close together and like, oh, they're talking. And I'm like, it's not, okay, I can't really see the connection. Like, can't really see the frog immediately. So, okay, let's move them farther apart and we'll see if I can do this. But, thank you.
It's just so cool. And you're right. Putting them close together would show some kind of like symbolism of making them look like they're talking, but like, you gave it that space to breathe, and then you had that idea to add the extra little details in there. Even like her little angry things in her hair is like super cute.
Technical question. Do you use anything to get them to stand, or did you balance them?
No, it's a combination of like, it's poster putty. Sorry, I just always, I have like this one like corner of the apartment. Mm-hmm. Apartment, so all my stuff is always out. But it's poster, it's also just the Nendo stands. Okay. And then I just like Photoshop them out. Gotcha. Which is not
it's easy. Like, oh, like,
you can do it, but like, oh, yeah.
Exhausting. As somebody who's new to Nendos, I just like to kind of see what everybody's approach is and see like their different techniques, because god, they are so top heavy.
Yeah.
Such heavy little heads.
All the stuff like Steph does, I'm always like, how did you get it to stay? Okay. Magician. I'll hold up my like same one and be like, how?
It takes a while. I'll tell you what, and a lot of finagling with sticks and stuff, because I hate photoshopping out the little stands. It takes so long, or you'll end up like, I'll post it and I'm like, I forgot to take out a piece of it. Like, you'll notice, like, I'm like, oh my gosh.
I've never noticed, but yeah, I feel that so deeply.
Yeah.
Are these effects on your phone too with his eyes? British
no, eyes. That was that's Photoshop, I think. That was an old one. I feel like I've like simultaneously gotten better but worse. So looking at this, I'm like,
No, I love this. This is the first thing that I talked about with my series, is like your focus on the character, the hero, the heroine, the protagonist. Just letting the background disappear, focusing on their face, their eyes, their expression. And that becomes the most important part of this style of image that you do. You get them in a classic pose, nothing over the top, nothing extraordinary, and it's all about their face. It's all about them. And really trying to, you know, capture some emotion. And Nendos are so emotional anyway. I feel like their faces have a lot of emotion, which is really fun. Something that, again, I'm new to. But you get it. It doesn't matter whether you're doing Nendo or somebody else, like even like, you know, the Bulbasaur and stuff like that. You get that face, background doesn't matter. It's all about what's in front of them, what they're coming into, what they're approaching. And hey, it's good. Real good.
Thank you.
I was like, because this is Genos from One Punch Man, where like normally he's like angry and flying off like with like the firepower in most shots, or he's just carrying groceries. I actually stopped and looked at this because you actually went like, this is just him, and so like Scott said, it's like a focus on him, and then you lit up his eyes because he's obviously going to get in a fight and then be angry and firepower is coming later. But it's just like one of those moments where like you probably were walking, saw this part, and liked the way it lined up, and were like, I'm going to stick him down here. This is perfect for this.
I also love that you see, like, where he's coming from. Like, the path, like, if we consider, like, the bricks, like, the path he's coming from, like, kind of goes off into the distance. And, I mean, you would imagine that he came from that direction towards you. You made that part of the image. You made the curved line off to the right, you know, the side of the brick is lit by some side light there. The bricks have two different tones. You have like your redder tone and you have like your grayer tone bricked, and they create a little bit of separation. I think this photo is freaking awesome.
Thank you.
Freaking awesome.
Yeah. It's funny. It's really nice to hear this too, because I feel like a lot of my older photos, because I had like a Canon T3 Rebel, and so like the points of focus on that are very limited, and it doesn't have a touch screen. So a lot of this was like, gotta work with what I got right now. So
that's what artists do all the time.
Especially with these older ones.
But that just goes to show, like, what you do with what you have. I mean, gear only gets you so far. You obviously have more than that. You have the brain. You have the artistic power. You can make it happen with nothing. You're the kind of artist that I could give you a box with a piece of film in it and say, go make a photo, and you could make it happen. You know, it's not, you have an eye and you have ideas, and you can make them happen no matter what your gear is. There's intent behind everything, every one of your photos, the way you frame it. When you look at your feed, you're all over the place. I mean, there's consistencies, and you see like, you know, certain elements that you like to use that are very typical to your style. But, your eye is open-minded. You have an open-minded eye, and you're willing to try different things that make your art work. So it's great. It's really great.
It's also, sorry, also the context of like me being like is because just with the journalism thing, people are very like not mean, but you know, they focus on the like what needs to be fixed. Mm-hmm. So this is also like we gotta get this going, guys. So usually I just remember taking one photography class in college, and that was a while ago, but it's like it was that situation where both of the people teaching it were great photographers, but mm-hmm. they were not great at articulating like technical things of like they could only be this is bad, and then we'd be like, well, why is it bad?
Like, that is the worst constructive feedback ever.
It's just bad.
Like, low like, quality.
I have to go off vibes. Like, what is this? Like, okay, so like, this is good. Why?
Yeah. Why? What did I do this time that was better than what was last time?
Like, yeah.
The 50 things I just showed you, but you like this one. So it's also the like, thank you. Everyone in the toy community is so nice. And even after like all these years, I'm always like, dang, like, people are so supportive.
We're supposed to be having fun with this. Like, if people want to get all negative, go do something. Go join the fine art world that I was part of. Then you can go get negative with each other, because that's exactly where you'll find that. Go to some gallery and let people like over nitpick your work about some specific color that didn't match up with another color, or that you're imitating this person. It's like, that's not what this community is about. This community is about creating fun stuff and enjoying it. And like you said, disconnecting from the world where it is judgy and being part of a world that's a lot less judgy. And that's how it should be. And that's how we're going to keep it. I'm not going to let that change.
So I have a Rebel T3i like Canon. That's what I use right now, and I have used. I need to upgrade one of these days. Yeah,
real.
Yeah.
I thought you upgraded a long time ago.
No. I've been trying to. I'm in need of one. I've been talking about it. Like when I get my, I haven't gotten my final like tax return yet, and I think that's going to be the time frame. But I'm not sure what I want to do. But what are you using now?
My work was actually really nice, and so I'm using a Canon 6D Mark II, I think.
Yep.
Yes, I think. But which was I was originally gonna get the 70 as an upgrade, but then I had also been. It's like there's just so much now that you're like, do I go with Canon because I have like two Canon lenses, or I was also looking at like Sony, like mirrorless stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like if you have the lenses already, I mean, you've got the quality of stuff you need. And this is what I've told people too in the past. They're like, which is better, Nikon or Canon? And it's like, mm-hmm. like just don't overthink that. Like, think about your glass. Think about what you're using. Like, what lenses do you use right now? Like, what are your ideal lenses?
It's been just like the cheap 50 millimeter. Like,
that's what I got.
So you like.
I think so. What happened, because like I switched jobs like within like the last year, so shooting with the 6D is like, because I feel like with the T3 it was like I had maxed out everything on it, and I was just getting, it was like one picture is taking 3 hours, it should not be taking this long. Like, come on. I could use my phone.
Yeah.
That I don't want to use my phone. Yeah. Like, that's an option at least. But with like, because of the short time frame, I was like, do I invest in nice lenses, or do I just kind of like try it out? So it was just like, okay, let's just get one of the like starter 50 millimeter lenses off Amazon that everyone gets. And then build off of that, like when I eventually like jump to the next thing, because I think I'm gonna stick with Canon. But
good, that's again, that truly, people, there are things, yes, there are things that Canon does better, Nikon does better, Sony does better, Fuji does better, Olympus does better. I don't know if Olympus is doing that anymore, but you know what I mean, like everybody's gonna have something that they do better. But at the end of the day, this comes back to the whole not obsessing over gear thing. It's like, yes, it's great to have the best gear you can, but as long as you stay consistent and you know how to use your equipment well, that's how you're going to get the best images. Like the person who knows how to use their equipment and has gotten comfortable with their equipment is going to take significantly better photos than somebody who just buys the new best thing every year, because they're never getting comfortable with it. They're never getting comfortable with their gear. What would be like, what would be the next lens you'd be thinking about going next after the 50? Like, do you want to get closer up? Do you want to get wider? Like, any thoughts yet?
I kind of want to do more. It's like hybrid, like, mm-hmm. you see all the, you know, you see all the action stuff and you're like, ooh, I want to do that. But like, again, like where we live is not ideal for that. So I was mm-hmm. thinking more like, you guys know, like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, kind of mm-hmm. like kind of that like high fashion concept stuff, but like with like dynamic posing. So like that, maybe more like, yeah, playful lighting, like, yeah, more like, you know, it's more like fashion photography, but like,
I get that,
like scaled down. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to get like a macro or something like that? Maybe it
might be macro, but then it's like, it's that balance of like, I like the soft edges, but it's also like, you know how if you have a detailed shot, like a shot with a lot of things in it, it's like, I want to see all the little things. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
It's
mm-hmm. yeah. Well, that's why you like the 50, because the 50 really, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what's always going to get with the toy photographers. Like, I mean, if you got yourself like a really good 50 and just focused on that, I mean, you'd probably be able to do a lot of great stuff with that as far as like getting the detail and the props in your scenes and the, you know, the backgrounds and the foregrounds. You'd be able to get that whole spectrum. If you started going mm-hmm. more macro or telephoto, that's when you're going to start losing a lot of the mm-hmm. the other stuff. So if you want to get that, I think maybe that's just, maybe it's your calling. Maybe you're just a 50 shooter.
Sweet spot. Steph, I had no idea. I honestly thought, ooh, she's got something nice.
That's because Steph is just ridiculously talented.
I don't know about that, but it does take me 3 hours to take one photo now when you said that, because I was just laughing. I was like, maybe that's why, but I was always assuming it was just me, but it might be the camera.
So the people have like the BTS videos and they got like the iPad synced. I was like, oh, that's nice. Like, mm-hmm. I'm always just like, I can't see, but I think it was good. Like, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I gotta go back out again.
Misfocus. Try again.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're like trying to squint because like you're like look at, oh gosh,
yeah. And something like slowly is tipping and you don't know. It's like, you yes. know, it's fine, like it's only noon, I got it's cloudy, I have time. Mm-hmm. I guess. Yeah,
the world of Nindos.
They're so cute.
God, they're cute. Now here we venture into your the great Dana spectrum here. Like, this is fascinating because you do this periodically where you kind of go into a like almost like a fine art realm, like this almost surrealist kind of like, you sort of leave the idea of Pokemon, anime, action heroes, and you go into this second space. And it fluctuates as you go through your feed. Like, you'll do these series like this, and then you'll go back to some, like, you know, some little action shots again, and you'll come back again. Like, these are the kind of photos that I swear you would see like in a gallery or something. Mm-hmm. Like that. Like, this is where that toy photography art kind of like they meet somewhere on the other side. It's really, really interesting, and I love this. It is bizarrely perfect, and I want to know, like, what was your process here? Like, what is happening? Please, go off, just go and go and go and go. I will let you speak for the next hour about this. Just this photo, just tell me.
This was actually for a friend. It kind of encapsulates her personality. I don't know if she'd get mad at that, but it was because like, it's one of those, and like when you're saying like my feed varies, that's actually a conscious decision, and I haven't like said it outright on my account, but I actually really like mixing in like more like, I guess mainstream, I don't really like that word, but like, you know, just the more like the normal things people, mm-hmm. you know, are doing with, you know, just like random toys that I'll find, because, yes. you know, like there's with these kind of things, I like gravitate toward kind of just weirder, like the gacha, like mm-hmm. you know, like the machines here, because I see this stuff and it's like, what, it's ridiculous, but it's also like someone, you know, an adult was like, hey, you know what this world really needs right now? It's like it needs a little distraught, long-legged shark. And then people had meetings about it, and then it got approved, and then it got made, and then they made like, you know, multiple ones. So I'm just like, people need to know about these things mm-hmm. that exist. So I just like throwing in like random little things I find. And it's also that, you know, there's like that weird, yeah, it's like that, it's that line, like you said, like with the fine art thing and the toy photography, it's like that really blurs, I feel like, with like that, the vinyl toy,
the designer toys, yeah,
East kind of side. And I'm always like, I don't necessarily understand always, but there are some toys that I'm like, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's not articulated, but like, I really like it. So how am I gonna shoot that? Because you know, it's like you could put it, you know, when you put it in like a typical like I guess toy photo background, that's either, you know, more happy or like more actiony. Sometimes it just doesn't really match the tone mm-hmm. all the time. I mean, you could like get it to work, but I've just kind of noticed that, like as I've kind of collected more of these little guys, because you just see them, or like you like follow artists randomly, and then mm-hmm. you're like, oh, you have like new stuff. What is it? Because yeah, it's just like indie stuff.
Yeah, did it come with the slippers? I'm just wondering.
No, the little Sanrio guys are like from a little, I don't know how to say it.
The remix?
Yeah, yeah. It was like, because my friend likes Cinema Roll. They were like really stressed at work. So I was like, I present to you this. So
this photo got me thinking quite a bit. And I like, ask you this as well, what is your artistic background besides what you do?
I don't have one. I mean, besides I'm looking back, I'm like, wow, parents, like you were very gracious, because when I was like, I don't know, maybe five, my parents were like, oh, here's, you know, our family film camera. It's not like anything fancy, but they're like, you're 5 year old, like,
yeah,
would you like, you know, would you like to play with it? And so like I don't know why they, you know, because you think back and it's like, this was film. Like, you had to, like, yeah, you had a limited amount of shots. And so I guess,
yeah, I did it too. I did the same thing. Yeah. I had a little waterproof Kodak camera, yeah, that my dad let me use. And, you know, yeah, this is film days. And it was a thing that happened. The reason I ask, I mean, like, everything about this is correct. Like, I'm not trying to be like weird, but like, I'm gonna get weird. Like, the geometry, and this is what I kind of mentioned in the comment this morning when I was talking. I had thought about going a little bit in this direction too, and I thought that this might actually need its own set, because it's something I haven't really experimented with on my feed. And the idea of focusing less on the toy and focusing more on an idea or a thought, and mm-hmm. and things like geometry and patterns. I mean, your triangles here are all over the place. You've got these really fascinating lines. You've got these really fascinating tones. The colors in it are so intriguing. To talk about the triangles for a second and get like really obsessive, you've got the slippers, the two faces of the slippers and the face of the bed or couch or whatever it is, creating a triangle there. You've got the little light spot triangle, the little hot spot on the left that's creating a triangle there. You've got the shark itself kind of already in the shape of a triangle. The space between the legs is a triangle. You have triangles on the right. You have triangles in the corners based on, so like if I took this and I just drew graphs all over it, which I have done before with people's artwork, I'm not going to do that because that's probably just going to annoy people. but like I could literally just draw lines all over the place and you would see like this weird overlay of geometric in, like intrigue. It's I can't stop looking at this. And and this is this seriously, as somebody who spent a lot of time hanging around a lot of snobby artists and a lot of arrogant butts, this you have more right than a lot of them to be arrogant about this. Again, this goes a little bit beyond toy photography. And I just that's why I was curious, because it really does. You have a few things on your feed, stuff I haven't really played with yet, but I'm thinking between seasons, where I want to think a little bit about this kind of stuff again. I want to look at your feed more, because this is really, really rad. that's the best way I can describe it.
Thank you.
Can't get over it.
I guess if we're coming at it from that angle, it's...
Please come at it from that angle.
I remember around this time I was looking more... Because it was that thing of like, all right, we know rule of thirds, we know leading lines, we know that stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm still looking for more resources, but it's that, that next step of like, oh, I really like cinematography. I don't personally want to ever work in film. I know I like still images, but I like looking at the composition of a shot and set design, production design a lot. So I think around this time I was watching more I don't know if you know the YouTube channel Indie Mogul. Sometimes they'll interview. It's this cool balance of because it's kind of this balance of interviews with industry, professional people, but also tailored more toward beginning/ low budget indie filmmakers. Ooh. So they're these are the techniques we use, and they've looked at just kind of this whole variety of things from lighting to just how they've dressed sets and stuff in different movies and scenes. They did stuff with I think it was the guy who designed the Inception sets, and I was just yes, teach me. Because it's you want the textbook, but the textbook is $300, so you're okay, I'm good, and this is not this is static. I'm not seeing someone when I did this, I'm circling this and then I came at it from here. So that is funny that you picked up on that, because it wasn't with this thing, it wasn't I will create art today. It was just kind of that unconscious, the lighting's good.
Yeah.
The lines are good. Ooh, we got, I didn't have that conscious thing with triangles, but it was a lot of this is going to line up and this is going to lead into this, and maybe I can get the light to blur like that.
Mm-hmm. But,
and that's how it should be. So. If you're overanalyzing it, then the natural part of you is not doing the artwork. That's the thing, is your subconscious should be creating the art. Your conscious is just supposed to worry about the technical stuff. That's all that's supposed to be. That's just doing this. But the art that you're creating here should be coming from somewhere recessed that you can't get to. It should just be happening on its own. And I think that's what happened. Not to get crazy on the word perfection, but you look at parts of this and it would have been so easy to screw something up and you didn't. And I think that's what is that's what stands out. And that's what I think for me always stands out when I'm analyzing people's art. And I'm not just talking about toy photography. I'm talking about any type of art is nothing. There are elements here that would have been very easy to do a little bit differently, and it wouldn't have had the same ooh, yes, it's perfect. And you didn't do any of that, which is incredible. I love it. I love it. Even the slipper. Everybody look at this freaking slipper, and how there is the tiniest hair of a gap between the bed and the shark's left slipper.
Oh, you noticed that.
If you had just lowered your camera angle by just 2 millimeters, The shark's head, I think, would have been too high over the background rectangle, and the slipper would have automatically been coming into contact with the little bed couch thing. And then that perfect little tiny piece of carpet right there would have vanished. And you wouldn't have seen that anymore. There would have been no separation between the leg and the bed. And it's like that's the kind of stuff that the subconscious art mind that is smart and powerful is able to do. So all I'm saying is you're smart and powerful. Take that and use that as you will.
I think just like also for anyone who like doesn't have a lot of like of the, what do you call it? Like the cool like diorama background stuff. Cause like that's something that I always get tripped up on now. Cause it's like, you know, you get to the certain point where you're like, okay, mm-hmm. like, everything needs to be like a production when it's like, it doesn't, it actually doesn't. This was just like placemat, like the window, and then like these, yeah, the little bed and the shark and the slippers. So
I thought yeah. it was a placemat. I'll place tell you why when we get to my photo.
Okay. I love placemats. They're so useful.
They are. I had a funny feeling this was a placemat.
I really like the contrast of the textures too for the flooring and then the softness of the what you got on the remit, because it could have been, it's really nice, Dana. It's very warm, very, very you. And so I really like it. We're going to talk about this
one. Yeah.
When I saw this pop up, I knew it was your photo, but this is like, we both love Bets so much that when she started her sticker stuff, I was just like, oh my god, Data, this is so much Bets in one photo, but you at the same time. It's so well done, it's so encompassing, it's so cool. And then the fact that it's a sticker that you've like highlighted, it almost looks like a toy figure, is just, I was so excited. I had to show this one off.
What Bets does, I'm just like, I can't do that. So I'm just like, so when I saw these, I was like, oh my god, this is perfect. Because it's, again, yes, it's that idea of just shooting through things. And it's like, you know, just how do I play today? Like, what am I doing with this? And so like, when I saw her like post the stickers, I was like, I have an idea. I might not execute this idea for a while, but I would like to. But
you, here's the thing, you did it, you did your own, used your own voice. And that's, at the end of the day, that's what it is. You're using your voice to interpret somebody else's, you know, something that inspired you. Otherwise it would just be imitating. And you didn't. You are a fan of somebody, you enjoyed what they did, and then you let it evolve into your own style. And so you brought your own style into somebody else's style, which is what I've been trying to do, and Steph has been trying to do with this whole, like, this whole podcast, this whole project. And it's great. You, such a good photo, well thought out. I love it. I really do.
What's all over the ground? I just want to know.
Yeah, what is on the ground?
So it's not easy to reach it out, but like, so that is a combination. The foreground stuff, like the base is like card, what do you call it? The cardstock, cardboard stuff. Like, yeah, I don't remember. Like when you hang, like, you know, the things you hang up with the tag.
Oh, like cork board. Yeah.
Cork board. Thank you. Yeah. Cork board. And then I had like, I don't know, just like random leftover clay. Like, so for the little slope in the back, I was just like, yes, we will make you like a little hill. And then the little, like, flower thing on the stand is obviously, it's sitting on like more clay, but it's like, it was like almost like a star anise like flower seed thing that I just like kind of snipped off of like a fake, yeah, it was just like a fake bunch, because like I had seen her stickers, and then like I had gone to the craft store randomly, and I was like, my brain is making connections. But I was like, all right, this is not going to be the typical like Hollow Knight, you know, color scheme that it's going to be. So I was like, okay, like we're just going to go for this like fall kind of thing. But like all this. Yeah. And then the dried things are actually from a bouquet from a coworker that they had I just dried them and I had so them. Cool. I was like, it's not like, you know, you know, you're out in the world and you're like, can I use that? Mm-hmm. Like, not now, but someday, without like being too pack ready. You're like, I just have at least, you know, at least a couple uses. So
I used to make fun of my wife all the time for this. And I hope she hears this, because I would always like pick on her for like, I was like, oh my gosh, why are you keeping that? She's like, oh, maybe it'll have use someday. And I was just like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And it used to drive me nuts. Okay, this was pre-toy photography. And over the last year, I have taken more of her crap and used it in my photos than I could possibly imagine. And it makes me laugh, because like you said, you see stuff out there and you're like, wow, this could potentially be useful. And no, it might not be useful for your next photo or your next photo or your next photo, but it might be. It might be useful at some point. So it's I love that you do that. I think that's one of the great things as a toy photographer. As long as you keep it within reason, you don't become like a hoarder and like ruin your life and have cats living under it and all that stuff. Yeah. As long as you can keep it at bay, I think there is something fun about that, about reusing stuff too. And I mean, not to get like even a little hippy dippy, but like the inner environment, you know, my environmentalist part of me sits there and says, like, things that would have become trash, if you can get them like at least a second life, reuse it. Why not? Keep it out of a landfill a little bit longer. Like, there's something really cool about that. So
I told Betts this, I'm going to out myself, because I was like, ooh, the people who would get so mad at me, but, you know, oh well. The plastic I used to, like, back the stickers and, like, little tab, those are from Nendoroid boxes, because we don't have space. So my husband was, you know, it was that thing of, like, we can fold them, we can put them in the closet, and then I was like, yeah, but at that point, like, I'm not going to sell these. These are beat up. Like, this is a lot of plastic. Because, yeah, the thing with toys, it's like, there's so much plastic.
There's a lot of packaging.
So much. And you're like, okay. So yeah. With these, I was like, I have a lot of these little plastic sheets. I'm going to let's use them.
Good. Yeah. I've done that too. I've used the Hasbro plastic before for like little computer screens and things like that. I'll just cut it up into the shape I need. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, turn it into the way I want it. Hasbro's actually been talking. I keep hearing these rumors. I don't know if it's true, but they're working on like a way of using less plastic in their packaging, where it'll just be like a small opening, just enough so you can kind of see like the face sculpt. So if you're like really picky and choosy, you can take a look at it. But trying not to use quite as much, minimize it. I think that would just be great. I would love that.
So. Mm-hmm. I do want to say on this thing, because I was really excited, because a lot of people I've started following somebody who uses like pins for like their photos and stuff like that. So the fact that you got to use somebody else's, like Bets made these for like God knows what. I stick them everywhere. So it's like one of those things. But you used it for part of your account and kind of like got to showcase something that like somebody made that's not like a toy or something into that matter. So I was really excited for this, because one, she's our friend and it's great, but two, like showcasing someone's work in a specialty way like this is really cool. Like your mind, to me, this is like this image like made my day when I saw it. I was so excited. And so I was like, Data, this is magical. It's perfect. So I was very excited.
Too good.
I'm gonna get to this one. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, process. Tell me, what did you do, top to bottom? Go.
Hey, let me grab it, because it's so my former boss, around Halloween, he got this cup. He got a bunch of these goblet things from the dollar store here, and was just like, here you go. And I was like, oh, sick. But then it was, you know, that made it, what do I do with this? Like, you guys mentioned texture. I like playing with texture more now. And so it was one of those, like, you're just scrolling through, like, you know, regular Instagram. And then I'm like, oh, like pampas grass, that's popular for like, interior design stuff. And so, like, a lot of, again, a lot of the stuff, like, I'll save, like, you know, it's also, it's that dual purpose thing of, like, can I use this for toy? But, like, a lot of stuff I buy in general life, I'm like, can I use this? Like, if I buy this basket for this fruit, can I also, you know, can I, would that work? So, like, with the pampas grass, I was like, how do I justify, like, this in my home? And then I just found this, like, blue stuff. And, like, I had had, yeah, these are just more, like, little gacha, like, toys from, like, a vinyl artist that I had really liked. But it was, like, a, you're, you know, you're, like, full on, like, you know, handcrafted stuff is always sold out. But I caught this. How do I shoot this? I don't know how to do that. So I have it. Yeah, I have one of them. I just took the thing, and it was literally, this is just on the ground in my apartment by the window. Whoops. Well, one of the fins fell off. You know, you just nestle it. Mm-hmm. And then, like, take for the one on top, you just take, like, I don't know, just like a longer stick. I think I taped like a chopstick or something. Mm-hmm. And then you just go, and then you get rid of the orange reflection shadows, and then
that's so cool.
You just yeah.
It is. It's cool.
It's one of those things, yeah, you kind of just space out and you're like, okay, cool.
Dana, but like, do you follow Shelly at all, Shelly Corbett?
Yeah.
It reminds me of some of the stuff she did with the Orbeez or whatever they are. Like, it gave me that kind of a feel. It was super cool. Super cool. I love this.
Yeah, there's a lot of movement in it too. Like, you feel like you're like watching them like move and swim and do their thing. And so I think the feathering that you got from that, and you say you took out that orange, like the whatever it is, but I can kind of see that it's like touched the edges of everything, and it gives it that nice warmth that you usually have. Mm-hmm. And like, I know that you, like, I say it every time, but like, the tone that you bring out, the warmer, I always want. My stuff always ends up going green and cyan, and I'm like, I've been trying to force myself to be yellow a little bit more. And so when I see your stuff, Dana, I'm like, okay, I have to try a little bit more and bring out that warmth to make it a little bit different. So
that is so funny, because every time I see your stuff, I'm like, cool tones. Why don't we do cool tones today? And then like, I edit and I'm like, once again, here we are.
Isn't it amazing? We constantly are trying to do what the other ones do, and we can't help but get away. We can't get away from our own styles. Like, we can try, but we always come back to them.
It's hard to say.
The only one that I've ever been able to get like a full warm tone on has been Bakugo but he's got like fire powers, so you have to like make him look like he's just intense, so it works out. We're going to go into the black and white ones, and yours is up first, Dana, which, by the way, thanks for like blowing our minds by sending that email.
Because I was like, I gotta try. It was so hard.
Isn't it weird?
So hard to
draw. You are a color photographer. You are as color photographer as it gets. I keep thinking like on the next season what we're going to do, because I don't know if we would continue with black and white. I feel like we have to figure out some other sort of weird element to incorporate, but this is just the first one. It made sense. But this, it's so interesting. I love it. I love this. Love its simplicity. Love, again, the focus on that character right up front. The face, the eyes. Letting that background kind of disappear. It's looking into the front, right into the lens. Great shot. I love this shot. I really do.
Yeah, I tried to go for it. Yeah, when Steph was like, okay, something that's your style, I was like, okay, who? And in black and white, it was like, all right, something, you know, lesser known, something familiar. And, you know, it's got that cute but kind of quirky bend to it. And then I was like, let's make those lines stand out a little bit. Mm-hmm. But
it's definitely like, I, again, the rock that you chose. I think it's a rock. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. And like, I love it. Like, cause I am, like, I'm going to say this like 50 times in this podcast, Scott's heard it say like a million times. I love a good natural texture. I love to be able to see like the branches and like the actual limbs and stuff that we use, that it's not kind of like, you used every piece of anything in this image and you made sure that it was showcased where it goes from like the front, even the bottom branch right there is like, I love when some things can kind of block too. So you have like, you're looking in, you're peering in on these two hanging out. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was, it's funny because it's, because like we live in like a city, so it's, mm-hmm. it's tough to get out. It's also like, it's that thing where it's like, you know, I grew up in Oregon, so it's like, I want a rock. I'm going to go outside and grab a rock. But in the city, it's like, here's, you know, this is a nice rock. It's $30. You're like, why? Why am I paying? No. So like that rock is like, actually, yeah, my boss who lives like outside the city was also like, you want what? You want rocks? I'm like, yes, if you have rocks, can you please bring rocks to work?
You gotta have those people. Thank you
something. He's like, I got your rock provider.
It's so important. You gotta have the people around you who find the stuff for you because you can't find everything. You gotta have a team. Every toy photographer needs a team. It's just how it works. So
Do people give you small things now / like things? Okay, because I've noticed that people be like, I saw this, I thought of you, but I don't know if you can use it. And it's usually something like, I don't know, like a tiny plate. And you're like, yeah, give it to me. Yes.
Well, my guys at work, like they, when they like fix the equipment and stuff, they'll actually find me like all the broken parts and whatnot. This is just like a little cylinder that comes off of one of the, like the box machines. And like, I have a bunch of these now, because what happens is a little like the piston breaks on the inside and they're just going to throw them out. And, everybody at my job pretty much now knows what I do. At first I was kind of like, didn't really talk about it. And then I realized that people just thought it was the funniest, greatest thing. So I was like, why not? I'll just talk about it. But now that people know, I get broken pieces of machines. I get broken pieces of circuit boards. I mean, nice. Anything you can imagine, like the mechanics and stuff will be like, Scott, where I'll like hear my name over the walkie and I'll think it's like something important. Like, oh my gosh, something's on fire. I need to go figure out what's going on. No, I get over there and they're like, can you use this? And I'm just like, that's what you yelled for me for? Like, really? Like, yes, I could use it. Thank you. But let's not make this an emergency. It's pretty great. Like, I love that. I love when other people get involved and want to be included.
So my mom took the kids and my nephew out for like a big hike. And I go to pick up my son and he has a paper bag full of pine cones because he knows that I like them. And so he's like, can you use these? And so I think I'm going to make him a pine cone crown so that he can run around the house in it. But
that's so nice.
Yeah, it was just like, I was thinking about it. I was like, my kids pick up stuff. They're like, can you do this with sticks and things like that? And I was like, laugh, because I think it's Amish Riot. Wasn't Laura, her son, started bringing her home sticks too? And she had them in her photos. And I was like, oh.
That's cute. Yeah, when you post the Animal Crossing Cafe, I was like, oh my God, this is the cutest thing. I was like, to my husband, I was like, look at it. Look at this. And he was like, oh. And I was like, no, you don't understand. Like, this is with her kids. And he was like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, it looks pro. I was like, no, it's beautiful. It's
beautiful.
You don't understand.
All right, you ready for Scott's?
Here comes Scott's.
Yeah.
Oh man. So I went with, again, I kind of stepped back from any of like the geometric fine art style. I wanted to try something that you do that I hadn't really messed with before. And that was little tiny sets. So I actually got like a little couch and stuff.
That's a nice, because it like, yeah. You know how that threshold of like it clearly looks like a dollhouse, that which like there's nothing wrong with that, but like some people, like the mini side, like the people who build the little tiny, like,
oh my gosh, yeah,
this is my 1/24th scale like chandelier, and you're like, ah, cool.
I loved it. So the photos I posted of yours with this were a lot of your seated characters, And I wanted to get that whole effect that you do, where you get these characters at home in their safe space, living their lives. And I think I posted like four photos of like couch style photos. And I love your use of that. It's, I know it sounds like a really weird element to grab from your style, considering you have like a whole spectrum of things you do, but that to me felt important enough that I was like, I'm going to do this. So, it was whenever you do those couch photos, you do not hide them behind anything like you sometimes do with like your outdoor photos, where you'll have something in the foreground a little bit. You really let the set just stand out. It's pretty like on a pretty level plane, and you'll capture these characters in their home setting. They're sitting on a couch together with their family. Just some like really interesting things that made me think a little bit about a style that I had never attempted. I was really excited to try it. I thought a lot about how I was going to do this one. Like the other two, I kind of knew where they were going to go, but the middle photo, I was like, okay. And I looked at those four photos like over and over and over again, trying to see like some of the really important things. And, you know, you tend to have stuff on the wall behind them. Again, small things that, you know, either mean something to them. I know the one you have like drawings all over the wall that it looks like maybe the character drew themselves. And then they're sitting in the little beanbag chair. You've got the one, the family portrait one where they're all sitting on the little yellow couch together. Like it's just a crew of, you know, just little figures all hanging out. And so I had these two, the two caps, the Endgame cap and First Avengers cap, fighting over the hammer a little bit and just kind of like, you know, being kids, living their lives. And I wanted to do that just to try it. And it was fun. And I used a placemat because I as the ground, I wanted to make sure I tried to insert a placemat in there. And it was truly a blast. This was 100% out of my comfort zone, and it was so fun. I had a really good time. So thank you for bringing this idea into my life. Really good time. So.
It's funny because I didn't realize I had so many couch photos.
Isn't it weird? Yeah. Isn't it strange?
Yeah, with yours, I was like to me, this looks more like a gallery thing because. It's, yeah, you've got what are clearly toys in the photo, but then this entire setup looks very much like a life-size living room. Mm. I really like, yeah, the couch, the, like, I mean, it's a placemat, but, like, I mean, yeah, all the textures are really working together. And the birds, I like the birds, like, where they're all looking in different directions and the stair step thing. I mean, yeah, it looks like a home. Like, this is someone's house. It was like, oh dang, like I didn't know you were out of your comfort zone with this one.
Yes, this is not typically my style. I mean, even just Steph and I think both focus a lot on outdoor photography. I tend to shoot outside a lot, so even the idea of shooting in my house was a little bit of a challenge. Mm. It always is a little bit working with light and stuff like that, but
yeah,
it was fun. It was really fun. I had a good time with it, and it was an interesting element to approach. And it is fun though, what you said about the couches, you don't realize it. It's, this is the fun part about having somebody else look at your work, is sometimes you don't even realize little things that you use consistently, ideas that you use consistently. I don't realize it. I sometimes have to go back and look at my work because I'm not 100% sure what I'm doing at any given moment. It's fun to have somebody like look and say, oh, I noticed you use this a lot. And you go, oh my gosh, I do use that a lot. Like I even from my more like classical photography, I've had that happen in the past where people pointed things out to me. I did something a lot when I would do kind of more like street photography and more like documentary style photography. I had gotten into making people's faces like disappear out of the frame. Mm-hmm. I didn't even really realize I was doing it, but it was something, for whatever reason, it got my attention. I took it once and then I started doing it over and over again. And my buddy pointed it out and was just like, did you know you do this? And I was like, huh, yeah, I am really doing that a lot. That's really interesting. And he was like, that's kind of become like a signature of your stuff. And I was like, huh, I have a signature. How cool. But yeah, it was really fun. Really fun going for your style. And like I said, between seasons, we're going to get a little wild. I think it might be Dana round two. So it's going to be different.
If I can like with New Exchange, I can try out your guys' styles.
There you go.
Do it.
All right. You ready for my awfulness? Hold on.
Awfulness. Excuse me? Oh gosh.
Excuse me.
Cup.
Whoa, dang. Okay. I haven't seen this one.
Super rad. Super rad.
Okay.
I had to dig out this. I think it's a Tyranitar, something like that. The little new dinosaur, the fossil ones from the new seasons for the Pokemon. Because we have a lot of Pokemon figures because Devin likes them so much. But Eva, Greater Beast, I got these little dinosaur guys from her, from the Reborn ones. And Dana, their mouths open. So I was, yes. So I didn't get a chance. I didn't figure that out until after I shot this yesterday. I know. I was.
That would have been really fun to have like one of them with their mouths open.
Mm-hmm. I was so bummed when I figured it out. But I took this on my coffee table inside because I was like, Dana does her most of her stuff inside. So I was like, I want them to kind of have a meeting. And so I have a bunch of like fake plants that I have around.
I was like, yeah, what is that? That's
cool. But I was trying to get the warmth. I even upped it. I went in there. I was like, I have to move this towards yellow. It hurt internally, but I did it. And so I was trying to get
I love that you did the hybrid. And this is something I had thought about. My two caps was not my original intention. I did go hunting for a little Pikachu, and I was going to have them fighting over the Thor hammer. And that was my original thought. But I like that Steph managed to actually execute the combo because you have some Pokemon interacting with other characters. And that's something that I do really love about what you do. And I love the fact that you've got real dinosaurs with like this little Pokemon just kind of like living life and whatnot.
This is so cute. I also like that he's not in the negative space. I like that he's like hidden, so you almost don't. You can just look at it. Like, yeah, if you're on your phone, like, oh, that's cool, but you don't see him, which is like just another like literal like awesome layer to this. God, this is really cool.
And really the layering is something you do, Dana. Like you do this like layering where like I had done it with the one shot where it's like the character itself, the one where he's behind the Pokeball. Like the Pokeball is really what gets your attention, but the character, even though the character matters, they're kind of behind. There's something sort of interesting here where Steph did that. Like, you know, that character is clearly important. That little dude might honestly be the protagonist in this scene.
Yeah, he's the focal point, but
they're behind. And everything else grabs your attention first, which is, I think, a very, very Dana thing to do.
This is also, I feel very like, with both of these photos, I'm like, whoa. Yeah, it's like, it's like alternate universe mirror. I'm just like, oh. Because I actually, one of the photos I was going to shoot this weekend is, a Bulbasaur and a Stegosaurus. And the Bulbasaur is just kind of like, what are you?
Yeah, what? That's great. That is great.
So this is amazing as well. Like both of these photos, I'm like, whoa.
This is just random too, because like I have 6 of them now, but I'm super excited because I'm going to take them out tomorrow to these dinosaurs.
You have 6 of them. You don't have one of them. You have 6 of them.
I have 6 of them. And so Eva posted like all the stuff that she wanted to like sell. And I was like, and she just called them like the tiny little assholes is what she posted on there. And I'm like, I need those just because of that description, Eva. Great sold. Name for these little dinosaurs. Sold. But now I'm going to take them everywhere. And this just kind of, I would never have put this photo together if we weren't doing this challenge for you, Dana. So that's why it's like your idea of having what you're going to do with Bulbasaur later on for that image. It's because it's you. That's because this is my like realistically Pokemon. I don't shoot that often. So it's one of those things. But I had to. I had to find one that was really going to encompass it. So I'm glad you like it.
Thank you guys for...
Steph, I really love the framing on this. this is cool. Like just photo wise, like I love that big dark black hole in the middle. It's so cool.
Yeah. If you blew this up, like just put huge, on a wall, yeah. I'd be like
huge. I know. Agreed.
All right. Oh, yeah, one more, which is just the executive runs, which I really like.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I think that's so cool. That is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
This was actually one that I was like, I need to go cooler tones, and that, yeah, obviously at the end that's not. I just
it went super very
warm and saturated once again.
It's harder with this color green though, I think, too, yeah. To go cooler. Like I think that's why I gravitate towards certain characters when I shoot them, because they happen to follow that color palette. And so I think with the Pokemon, they have that natural warmth already because they're cutesy and they kind of do their thing. And so is this one figure? How many of these guys do you have? I just wanted to know too.
Yeah, because you're like, I have six. I have a whole, but okay, they're at the bottom, but like, I have maybe 10, like around 10. Can we small one? Because I was like, I want a forest. And then like, my husband is just like, he's so patient. He's like, as long as it has a home, go wild. And I'm like, I will find a home. They have a home now, but yeah, when they all show, because I had seen some at the store, and then, you know, it's like, there are only three. So you're like, okay, three. Do I wait for them to stock more? And then, like, for, like, whatever reason, I had gone on, like, it's not Amazon, it's like an Amazon equivalent here, but then I had gone on, and someone, there was a shop selling, like, basically a lot of, like, yeah. I think it was, yeah, like eight or something, and I was like, I'm...
Why it's not?
Cheaper and the ship, no shipping fee. Okay.
Why?
And so it just made like opening the box when it finally came, being like, I almost 30 years old, like unboxing how many of these. Like, sometimes people are like, oh, you have kids? Not yet, but they'll be very happy. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, I was wondering if you layered it or if you actually, because it's really, it's hard sometimes to get these kind of like looks if you don't have the multiple figures. So it was a good purchase. I'm going to say good job, Dana. Get 10 of those. Good.
Yeah, I think so too. It worked out. Even if you just got this photo, it was worth the investment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's that thing because like some people be like, you can't see, you know, like all the stuff you crop out or the stuff that you don't get in the shot. Like, you can't see all the stuff. I'm like, but it's there. Yeah. I made the effort. Like, I tried.
Dana, this is wonderful. You are seriously just a fantastic photographer. I cannot believe it took me this long to actually find your work. It hurts me a little bit that it took me this long to find your work. And Steph, I think I'm mad at you for not telling me about her sooner. So I'm going to hold this against you. Just because you're the one I can blame here. Instead of blaming myself, I'm going to blame you.
Okay.
I'm not blaming anybody. Dana, seriously, we know your account at small_legends. If you people are not following her, you better, because I don't understand why you aren't. Don't be a Scott, be a you. And other than that, do you have any other things that you do? Anything else that you worth plugging at the moment? Do you have Twitter? I know you kind of just do this for fun, but I always just like to ask at the end if there's any other, you know, professional type accounts and whatnot that you want to shout out.
I do, yeah. It's kind of funny, completely. Please. It's related, but it's very different. So like my current job is actually taking toy photos for this like shop called Solaris Japan.
Oh.
But that's mostly like scales, and so that was again like initially completely out of my comfort zone, and it's like, you know, this, the learning curve is still like, we're getting there. That's like a completely different like game though, because, you know, it's,
and what's it called, Solaris Japan?
Solaris Japan. Okay. No underscore, it's on Instagram, just but
straight up Instagram. Okay.
They sell like stuff.
How cool.
And so that's fun, but it's like weird because there is still that separation. I think just because the content is so separate, like, yeah, but that's been fun.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming that the photos you take for them also are not like the same kind that you would take with the executors and everything else too. So it's kind of like,
yeah, my account is more like, where will my brain go today? At work, it's like, you know, it's the like, we have a plan. We got to execute that plan and we got to get this thing like going. So, you know, and it has to be like more like, I guess like catered toward like, you know, you can't just go like, oh, today I think I'm going to do this. It's like, you need like direction.
Yeah. Or directors and people who have something like in mind of what the vision they have. So. I've been there. I know that feeling.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on, Dana. We were super excited. And...
well, y'all, thank you for listening to another wonderful episode of the combined SBN F-Stop Rebel podcast. Truly a pleasure. I hope you enjoyed everything. Remember, please do not grow up. It's a waste of time. I am Scott, F-Stop Rebel, and there's obviously Steph.
Yep, I'm still here, and you can find me at Slag My Thrilla or the SBN. You'll see all the credits on the end, but I always want to say, just guys, stay awesome and keep it up.